On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
That was a lot of fun. Leaf season, off and running. Big win over the Jets. Let's get into it. This is the Unforced Errors Podcast on the Tall Can Audio Network. Find it on iTunes. I guess we're now calling it Apple Podcasts, but it's on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Overcast, pretty much anywhere you find your podcast, you will find all the latest stuff from the Tall Can Audio Network, including this fine show. Also, a couple of new things up on the Patreon feed. If you haven't had a chance to go and check that out, we've got some great stuff put up over there. And that kind of explains why there hasn't been a whole lot going on here on this show in the last little while, and we'll get into that in a second. But if you're looking for some more content, some more stuff from both Rob and myself, that is the best way to get it. You want to contribute just a little bit extra to the show, and we'll give you a little something extra in return. There's a few different levels there in terms of what you can get, and you can pick and choose. Just head over to patreon.com/tallcanaudio. It'd be great if I could say the name of this thing myself. You'd think after 250-odd shows, I might be able to do that, but I'm struggling. It's patreon.com/tallcanaudio. patreon.com/tallcanaudio. So you can head over there, see what different packages we've got put together, and maybe get a little extra. That's why there hasn't been a whole lot going on this show. And I was asked about that the other day as we hadn't talked almost at all about the preseason on Tall Can Sports. And a lot of that happened as we tried to build some content for the Patreon feed. And that's not always going to be how it goes. But we needed to get some stuff up over there to make it worthwhile for the people who had already decided they wanted to jump in and contribute. So that's what we've done. We certainly won't do this show after every Leafs game, but I wanted to tonight because it's the season opener and because I haven't really had a chance to talk a whole lot about it on the main network in a while. The last four of the last five, sports shows have been divisional previews with Rob and myself. So hasn't been a whole lot of time to just sit down and kind of air some of this out. And this won't be a long show, but there was a couple of things that stood out pretty starkly on night one here. Leafs beat the Jets 7-2. If you look at that scoreline, you would have a hard time believing that Freddie Anderson was an integral part of the win. But if you watched that first period the way I did, and I'm sure most of you did, it seemed like we were in for a long night. The Leafs, over the course of the game, were shorthanded 8 times. We all knew there was going to be a penalty crackdown here coming into this. We didn't see any of the face-off violations. A lot of the talking heads that are working on the side of the NHL, that would be those who work for Sportsnet, the rights holder, their partners, would love you to believe that the narrative that they pimped for the last couple of weeks of maintain this harsh standard and the players will learn is what's happened. And really what's happened is they tried it for a couple of games in the preseason. People lost their shit. It became an embarrassment, especially when you're still charging people for tickets to come and see your preseason games. And the league told them to tone it down, just like everyone said would happen. What happened in this game, there was some slashing penalties. There was some of your more traditional penalties, you know, your hookings and things like that. Also a penalty to Leo Komarov for wearing his visor wrong. I don't know what to do with that. He was warned a couple times in the preseason. He was warned before they gave him the penalty in this game. A lot of Leaf fans jumping up and down saying that he just wears his helmet high. It's not his visor that he's wearing high. I think there's a little something to that, but he's always worn his visor high, and he just assumed they wouldn't get him. They wouldn't crack down on him. It was all preseason talk, like some of the other stuff, like the face-off rule, and so he kind of ignored it. And no, they buzzed him and gave him a penalty. There's some talk online, and I don't know if it's horribly outrageous, and it doesn't really matter a whole lot given the result of the game, but there's some talk that this was premeditated by the officials somehow. Now, Tim Peel was the referee. Tim Peel loves to make most of the games that he referees about himself. He is that kind of official. But this was something that they had warned Komarov about before, and they warned him again tonight before they gave him a penalty. So I don't really have a problem with the way the referees handled this. But when they decided they wanted to crack down on this rule, Leo Komarov was the star of the video that was shown to NHL GMs because he's the poster boy for this rule. So they wanted to get him, and they got him. I don't imagine they'll get him again. Babcock did not look impressed. I'm sure Komarov's going to hear about it from him, and we probably don't see this again. What's interesting is that there is now a rule in the league that players coming in have to wear a visor. But like helmets, when they came in, it's been grandfathered. I don't remember the exact year that this started, but Leo Komarov is allowed to not wear a visor at all if he wants. Whereas if you're a rookie coming in right now, you have to wear it. That's just how it works, right? If you've been in the league, if you were already in the league when they put the rule down, they leave it up to you. And if you came in after that, you know, most of you, I'm sure a lot of you will remember in the early 90s, Craig McTavish still skating around in the NHL with no fucking helmet on, while the rest of the, and it looked ridiculous because the rest of the league, the wide majority of guys who were around when that rule came in had already retired and all the new guys had to wear it. And the one or two other guys in the league with him who were eligible to not wear it if they didn't had decided this was insanity and had put one on anyway. So this is kind of how it goes. And we're in the middle of that right now with the visors. What makes this funny to me is that this is supposed to be about safety. If his visor is sticking out, he's not protected, and it could hurt someone else, right? If they fall down a certain way, it could cut someone else's face. And why that's funny to me is he's allowed to take it off if he wants. So we're worried about safety. So make sure you've got that on properly. What if I just take it off? Oh, yeah, that's fine too. Okay. So anyway, that was an interesting penalty. I don't imagine we're going to see it again. They were also buzzing around trying to call guys for having their jerseys tucked in. Of all the problems that are occurring in the National Hockey League, of all the rule changes, of all the things that could be clamped down on, for some reason we're going with uniform and helmet penalties, I guess. Freddie Anderson had blue tape on his stick. Matched his gear, right? Matched his logo, all that sort of. It's not allowed. You can't do that. You can't have blue tape. It's got to be black tape or it's got to be white tape. Okay, so during one of the intermissions, the linesman's retaping his stick for him. And you're just like, what the fuck are we focused on here? Does any of this matter at all? And these new jerseys, this is the first game with the new, what is it, Reebok, Adidas, I can't even fucking remember now, Adidas jerseys. They're tighter. They're not super slim. They're not really tight, but they are a more slim fit. And so lots of guys who don't tuck their jerseys in traditionally are having them kind of ride up, and as you're skating, right, it kind of, it's moving on you and it kind of gets tucked into the back of your pants. And they kept showing guys going to the bench and it's kind of half riding up and the refs are going, hey, get that out, it's a fucking penalty, all good. And so the trainers and the assistant coaches are walking up and down the benches, pulling guys' jerseys out of their pants for them, sitting on the... I don't like the new jerseys, you know, generally speaking. They didn't change much on the Toronto one, but there's just something about the look of them I don't love. But if this is going to be a problem, one of two things has to happen. You need to loosen that jersey back up a little bit for the guys, or you need to ease up on that particular call. Because it's not like guys are coming out and intentionally tucking their jerseys in. This is part of the new uniforms that you're forcing them to wear that is now putting them in, apparently, conflict with the league's rules. So what else? I guess we could talk a little bit more about the game because I've ended up on a tangent about some of the crazy penalties and weird equipment shit that's going on. As I said, Freddie Anderson stole the first period for them. The Capitals came out. Capitals. Why did I think Capitals? I'll tell you exactly why I thought Capitals. When I think Patrick Laine, I think Alex Ovechkin. And there you are. The Jets came out flying. And the Leafs took a couple of penalties early. The Jets' power play moved it around really well. And early on, it would get better, but early on, the Leafs' PK was a fucking disaster. Clearly, Babcock wants them to be more aggressive, right? Challenge more, get right on top of the guy with the puck. Don't give them time to set up. In principle, I'm okay with that. It's one way to kill penalties. It's not the only team, you know, the Leafs are not the only team using that type of... It didn't look good. They didn't look ready for it. And there was some, man, great chances. And Freddie Anderson was unbelievable. The Capitals were pushing 20 shots by the end of the first period. At one point, within 13 minutes, the Capitals already had 15 shots on goal. So they're on pace for 60 shots. Freddie Anderson's having a hell of a first period. And that's not going to get talked about a whole lot, right? Because when you win 7-2, it doesn't look like your goalie was pressed very much. But for the first half, the first three quarters of that first period, it was all Winnipeg. The Leafs defensively didn't look very good. On the penalty kill, they didn't look very good. Freddie Anderson was the only guy kind of holding it together. I wasn't impressed at all with the PK. And I guess you kind of go, well, first night and got some wrinkles and whatever. But this is kind of what they've done, right? This is what they wanted to address in the offseason, right? Ron Hainsey was supposed to be a penalty kill assist guy, right? They went in and got Dominic Moore. He didn't even get in the lineup. So it was a little discouraging early on. What happens later on is immediately after one of these, I don't know, it was probably the third or fourth power play that Winnipeg had, Kadri goes and scores. And then almost immediately after that, Van Riemsdyk scores, and then Nylander scores after that. So Leafs get three goals in something like 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes to, you know, late in the period, and it was over. Just like that, the game was over. Early on in the second, I guess you could make a case that Winnipeg was still pushing a bit, came out and tried to... But by the time Patrick Marleau scores his first goal as a Leaf from Austin Matthews, that was fun. To make it 4-0, the game was over. And the Jets, like I said, were by far the better team for the wide majority of the first period. But as soon as the Leafs scored, and then especially after that second one, they just went, ah, fuck. And this has been a problem for Winnipeg for a while. Poor goaltending and bad defensive zone coverage. And when you have run the Leafs out like Winnipeg had early in the game, and you find yourself down 2-0 and then 3-0 at the end of the first, man, you're frustrated. On the third goal, I don't know what Steve Mason's doing. It looks like he's trying to get set up for a shot from Jake Gardner, but Jake Gardner doesn't have the puck. William Nylander has it beside him with a wide open goddamn net. So that was it was also fun for me to see Nazem Kadri score the first goal of the season, given how much the rest of the league hates him. The way opening night works, they stagger the games a little bit. So the Leafs start at 7, and then Pittsburgh, which is going to start at 8, which would be closer to 8:30 after they do their banner-raising ceremony, all that stuff. So everyone's watching. Everyone who's been excited for hockey to come back is watching the Leafs and Jets first because it's the only game on. and it's Nazem Kadri who scores. Hilarious. Awesome. I've had so many people, and it came up after the divisional previews when I said that the Winnipeg Jets would not be making the playoffs, who said Steve Mason is an absolute upgrade in goal. Didn't look like it. Did not look like it. And it's not fair to write off the signing and the move after one night. It's the first game of the season. And it's really, you probably shouldn't be getting too excited as a Leaf fan either for only one goal. But he looked bad. He didn't look good, man. And there was one save kind of midway through the first where I think it was Kadri who passed on a two-on-one straight across to Marlowe. And Mason made a real nice stop. And you go, all right, that's probably a good confidence builder. But it wasn't long after that the Kadri scored and the wheels came off. On a couple of them, Winnipeg wasn't helping him. The Jets' defense was not helping him, but he wasn't good. And at 4-0, I'm calling out. I want 5-0. I want them to pull him. I want to see this happen because I don't care that much. I want the Leafs to win, and I want them to win big and all these sorts of things, but do I really care if the other team pulls their goalie? Not normally, but only because so many of you have tried to convince me that this was going to be a great fucking signing for Winnipeg. And here we are on night one, and he's giving it up. So, yeah, I wanted to see it, and we did see it, and he got pulled. We got to see Marner score a goal. We got to see Nylander score a goal. We got to see Matthews score a goal. That's only happened two other times, once last February, one in April, and here we are again. So that's kind of fun. It's one of those nights. Early on, then there's things to be concerned about. The Leafs give up two goals in the third period, and it got a little sloppy, but it was pretty clear both teams had reached that point where we all know how this is going to end, so fuck it, right? After 5-0... The two more that the Leafs got were just kind of, whatever. And the two that Winnipeg got were the same sort of deal. Babcock won't be happy, right? He wants you to nail that down. Leafs had a lot of blown third period leads last year. He's not going to be okay seeing that again. Two late goals that you didn't need to give up. One was a pretty sweet pass from Line A to Scheifele. The other one was just whatever. But it was pretty clear from 10 minutes down to the, you know, end of the third that both teams had just gone, let's just get the fuck out of this without anybody getting hurt, and the result is no longer in question, right? So, you know, interesting game, honestly. Fun to see Marlowe get one, even more fun to see him get two. Disappointing for me as a guy who for some reason has jumped on the Connor Brown bandwagon to see him. He took a penalty but didn't get much of a chance. The fourth line didn't get to play much because you know, with all the penalties that were getting taken and this and that. Brown killed some penalties, wasn't too bad, but offensively he wasn't noticeable. He just wasn't noticeable. And it's going to be hard for him to be. What else do we see? Leafs end up, like I said, taking 8 penalties, and as we talk about all these stupid penalties, the Komarov penalty aside, you know, the slashing stuff, the hooking stuff that they're going to crack down on, yeah, I guess they're cracking down. But Winnipeg wasn't getting buzzed. I think they only took 2 penalties. So this is a Leafs discipline thing. Like, if you're going to play 16 minutes shorthanded, that's almost a full period. You're going to get burned. And it sounds probably earlier like I was taking a shot at Ron Hainsey. It did look clumsy early in the game, but the penalty kill had lots of time to practice because they took 8 penalties. So he was much better as it went along. Eric Fair was very good. I don't think most of us even expected him to be in the lineup. You know, throughout training camp, it looked like they were trying to give Miro Altonen a chance. When that didn't happen, you go, well, they signed Dominic Moore on July 1st. They made it pretty clear they wanted him. Looks like it's probably going to be his spot. And it wasn't. Eric Fair, late in the preseason, I guess was better, but I just don't think any of us really assumed that he was going to have that spot. I don't love his game. If we're going to have this kind of line with him and Martin, then okay, fine. Because you can't really have just one of those guys in the lineup. If you're going to put Miro Altonen and Connor Brown, two skill guys, in your lineup, you can't put them with Matt Martin because they can't properly do it and he can't keep up and it's just a fucking waste. So either have one of these grind lines if you think that's going to help you, and that's clearly what they're doing with either Moore or Fair in the middle and Martin on the other, and then Brown kind of being asked to do that as a penalty kill guy, and you know, maybe he'll get some power play time too or whatever, but that line isn't going to generate much 5-on-5. You know, I guess that's okay. But you got to kind of make a choice, and it looks like they did. It looks like they decided to go with the grind line type thing. And to me, what they should have done, Martin is your extra forward. He's not playing. Altonen doesn't go down. Altonen centers Josh Levo and Connor Brown. Now you have four offensive lines. And really, that's what we saw tonight, was three offensive lines that you just couldn't keep up with. The Kadri-Marlowe combination, and even if you want to just look at this in pairs, right? Kadri-Marlowe was great. And Komarov was fine when he wasn't taking weird penalty helmets or helmet penalties. Apparently gone dyslexic there for a second. And then you move up and there's the Austin Matthews-William Nylander pair. Zach Hyman is there, but... And then on the other one, I guess the other one with Bozak, Marner, and JVR is more of a trio in terms of skill. Bozak got a couple of points tonight. I didn't think he was very noticeable. JVR was pretty good. Marner was pretty good. But you just can't match that. Very few teams can go three lines deep with off. Patrick Marlowe is on your third line. He's got over 500 goals. That's insanity. I do want to address last thing before we get out of here. There's been a ton of talk about Zach Hyman continuing to play with Austin Matthews. A lot of people wanted to see Patrick Marlowe up on that spot. I think at one point I'm one of them. I might still be, but we're going to see it a bit. Babcock's rationale is Hyman is the best forechecker in the league. His words, not mine. Hyman might be. I don't know how you quantify that, to be honest with you. But he's the guy who's supposed to get in and go get it and then get it out to Nylander and Matthews to do their thing. The problem with that logic is Austin Matthews is also a fantastic forechecker. He's also great along the boards. He is fantastic at taking the puck back and setting things up. He doesn't really need someone to go do that for him. Tonight, we saw a very interesting contrast. So in Babcock's mind, Hyman's the guy on that line to go get the puck in the corner. Marlowe stays down with Kadri, and Komarov is the guy on that line to go get the puck in the corner and then let Kadri and Marlowe do their thing. Now you have three lines when you include the Bozak line that can all hurt you. In theory, I guess, if you move Marlowe up with Matthews, now probably Hyman's with Kadri and Komarov, that line doesn't have as much punch. So we saw both tonight. On the Nylander goal, it came directly because Zach Hyman got in and got the puck. He got in on a defenseman, turned the puck over, and got it to his guys to make some things happen. That's exactly what he was supposed to do. He made Mike Babcock look like a genius. And you kind of go, all right, I get it. That's on the 3-0 goal. On the 4-0 goal, 2-on-1, Austin Matthews with the fantastic feed to 500 goal scorer Patrick Marlowe, who buries a sweet shot in not a whole lot of space. Zach Hyman can't do that. So we saw both. We saw both, right? Matthews is out there with Marlowe, and it happened a few times tonight because Zach Hyman kills penalties, and the other two don't. Matthews doesn't, Nylander doesn't, Marlowe doesn't, you know. Marner doesn't, although we've been seeing a little bit of that at practice. It looks like we might see Marner kill some penalties, which would be fun. So what happens is Hyman's out there killing penalties. The PK ends. Hyman goes to the bench. Matthews and Nylander jump out, either with Marner or Marlowe on the other wing, and they go to work. So we saw that a few times. It's not like Marlowe's never going to play with those guys. He has to jump in and fill a shift for Hyman after he kills the penalty. So on the 3-0 goal, Hyman gets in, knocks somebody off stride, takes the puck, gets it to the guys, they set it up, Nylander scores, just like Babcock wants. The rest of us who want to see Marlowe play with them get to see on the 4-0 goal, this sweet 2-on-1, Matthews to Marlowe, sweet shot, and it's in. And if on that 2-on-1 it's Zach Hyman, no one is asking for Matthews to even try to make that pass. The defenseman isn't going to respect that pass. The goalie's not going to respect that pass. They know Matthews is either going to keep it or pass it to Hyman, who's going to shank it somewhere way wide of the net, and it's going to end in nothing. So we saw both tonight. We saw what Babcock thinks, and we saw what the fans think. Now, Babcock's going to win because he's got the clipboard and he's got the final call. But everyone on either side of the argument tonight gets to walk away going, see, I told you. I told you. If you put Marlowe with him, they get to make plays like that. On the other side, see, you put Hyman with him, he goes and gets them in the puck. So it's just interesting. And this is going to be a debate that carries on throughout the season, I think. But Matthews gets 3 points, a goal and a couple of assists. Marlowe ends up with 2 goals. Not a bad debut for him. On the second goal, I don't know what Winnipeg was doing defensively. They just left him standing there by himself. Like I said, guy's got a gazillion fucking goals. No one's going to cover him. All right. Thanks. So that's a debacle of a game for Winnipeg. Good start for the Leafs. They got stuff to work on. Like I said, can't have nearly as many penalties as they did tonight. Need the PK to be better than it was early on. Like I said, it got better throughout the game. But, you know, you also need to not be leaving Freddie Anderson out to hang so much. But ultimately, in the second period and the third period, Leafs took the game over. And it wasn't close. So, not a bad start to the Leafs season. They go at it again on Saturday night with the Rangers this time. Leafs home opener back at the Air Canada Center. It's the last season for the Air Canada Center. We get a little teary-eyed over it. Yeah. And I'll probably be watching that game, getting ready for some turkey the next day, as I'm sure many of you will. That's the Unforced Errors podcast. We won't need to drag this out too long. Like I said, find all our divisional previews as the season is still young at tallcanaudio.com and find some of the new stuff, some of the extra stuff, and, you know, show us a little love over at patreon.com/tallcanaudio. My name's Matt Robinson. This has been the Unforced Errors podcast on the Tall Can Audio Network.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.